How many people are watching the Olympics this week? Is there anybody that's an Olympic-free household? Anybody that's, okay, so this is something we all have in common. And I was talking to a parishioner the other day on the phone as I was driving around, and we were discussing the Olympics, and I said I was trying to come up with an Olympic-themed sermon for this week. And he says to me, why don't you make the topic, don't be judgmental? There's a lot of judging that's going on at the Olympics. I said, I can take it to another level. How about, I hope God doesn't use the same scoring system they use in gymnastics or diving. One little move, oh, there's a deduction, no hope for you. Is that what it sounds like? And I often wonder, like the commentators in these sports, if they've ever done that. As they're criticizing everybody, like, oh, that looked terrible. It's like, well, have you ever tried diving off of a 35-meter platform and pulling around and going into the water without a splash? I mean, I know I haven't, so I can't criticize those who do. And also, that's on my list of things I'll never do. I'm pretty sure I will never, ever do that. And another sermon that can come off of the Olympics on that topic is we tend to find fault in the smallest things. So you see these world-class athletes, and you look at it when you see it at live speed, and you're like, wow, that looks good to me. And then when they go on super slow-mo, you see like one little fault, and of course that's the difference between first and tenth. Anyway, I hope God doesn't use the same scoring system they use in the Olympics, or I for sure have no chance of getting into heaven. Now, the other night I watched the gymnastics final where the USA women won the team gold, and it was interesting watching the young ladies give their interview on TV. When Bob Costas asked them, when was your earliest memory of the Olympics? And they said, and they all said, well, in 2004. And I said to myself, gosh, I feel old. Your earliest memory was in 2004. I was already in my 30s by then. And it got me thinking, those girls ended up on the gold medal stand the other day because of an experience they had in 2004 watching the Olympics. They looked at the people who won that year, getting their gold medal, getting on the podium, hearing the Star Spangled Banner, and they said, I want to be that. I want to be that. Now, the girls at that time were 7 or 8 or 9 years old. I'm sure they weren't looking at the box of cornflakes and saying, I want to be that. I'm sure when you're 7 or 8, you don't know what an endorsement is. So I'm sure they weren't saying, I want to be that. I think that they focused probably on that medal ceremony, on the flag going up, on the medal going around the neck of the people who won and saying, I want to be that. And in their mind's eye, they had some kind of a vision. Maybe in their room, they put a box in the room and they practiced getting up on the box and putting a medal around their head and humming the Star Spangled Banner. They had some kind of vision, some kind of fantasy. And then they spent 8 years trying to make that vision come true. Something they saw in their mind's eye, they spent a lot of time, and it became a reality. And I was trying to think of the things that the Olympians share in common. One of them is discipline. In order to get to be an elite athlete in the world, it takes discipline. I heard on a radio program, they were talking about the different kinds of sports, and they said, you know, world champion in basketball. And they said, well, that's actually like a misnomer. Not everyone in the world plays basketball. So to say, you know, the dream team is like the number one in the world, well, it's not really the world, it's just a small sampling of the world, the countries that play basketball. But if you want to take the purest form of sport, which is running from point A to point B, everyone in the world does that. Everyone runs. So if you're the fastest going from point A to point B, you really are the fastest in the world. And in order to be the fastest in the world, or the fastest swimmer, or the best diver, or the best basketball player, or whatever it is that they're doing in the Olympics, it takes discipline, it takes training. You have to forego a lot of worldly things in order to be an Olympian. Things that everyone in the world just about enjoys. Things like sleeping in. You gotta wake up before dawn and get into the pool, or start running, or go to the weight room. You've gotta give up that worldly thing we all like called sleeping in. You gotta give up vacation, so to speak. Because if you're an elite athlete, you're training year-round, you don't take 3 or 4 weeks off and go do what most of us do, eat excessively. And then you come back from vacation and you're like, I really need to go to the gym now just to get back to where I was before. You avoid certain kinds of food. You don't see the elite athletes ordering 3 double cheeseburgers. I guess on the swim team they do that. But most elite athletes are not doing that on a daily basis or eating large scoops of ice cream. People that are athletes, they face pressure from their peers. And you say, well, how is that? How do you face pressure from your peers? Well, for anyone who's ever tried being on a diet, you know, and then you go to like a Christmas party, and your friend is like, here, try this, try this, try this, try this. And you're like, no. Oh, come on, it's just one, it's just okay. One won't kill you. And then you're like, okay, I take one, and then it becomes 2, and it becomes 5. And then you're off of the planet you're on. All right, so that's a small example of peer pressure, because we pressure each other to do bad things, like eat the wrong things. And I wonder how many of those girls, or anybody else in the Olympic sports, I wonder how many of them were criticized by other people. All right, you say, like, well, how could they be criticized? Imagine a girl that's 10 years old, spending 3 or 4 hours a day in the gym, and she says, I'm going to be an Olympic champion. I wonder how many people said to her, sure, you and everybody else. And she probably said, no, I really am going to be an Olympic champion. And of course, the answer is probably, sure, you and every other little girl wants to do this. All right, so I'm sure at some point, those little girls and the people on the swim team and the people running track, I'm sure at some point, they were all criticized. It's like, sure, you're going to do that. We're all going to do that. But these people persevered, and they actually did it. And then I was trying to think of some other things that the Olympians had in common. I bet that a lot of them had moments of doubt. I bet a lot of them wake up at 5 in the morning, and if you've ever woken up at 5 in the morning to get like an early airplane flight, as I did recently, and you're driving through your neighborhood at like 4 in the morning, and no lights are on, and I say to myself, thank God I don't have a job where I have to be there at 5 in the morning. I couldn't do this every day. And if you said, get in the gym and be there at 5 in the morning, and wake up at 4:15, and drive through your dark neighborhood on the way to get there, I would be like, forget it, that's crazy, I wouldn't want to do that. And so you wonder how many moments of doubt people had while they're on the way to the gym, in their car, saying, what am I doing? The rest of my neighborhood is sleeping, could they all be wrong? And one other thing I thought about people in the Olympics and what they have in common is that they all have a support system. This is something that actually just came to me during dinner today. There's nobody at the Olympics that's there alone. Everybody has some kind of a support system. Everyone's got a supportive parent, or a supportive sponsor, or a supportive country. No one is there all alone. And there's actually no way that you can get to the Olympics all alone. You've got to have some kind of a support system. But you see, the reward is there. The payoff is there. And not just in monetary terms, but the satisfaction of doing something that no one else can do. Lots of people can go out and make all kinds of money, but there are very few people who can do a sport in a way that an Olympian can do it and look back and say, I really am the best in the world at what I'm doing. Now, what does this have to do with Christianity? In Christianity, it's a lot like the Olympics. The goals are similar. We want to go into paradise. We want to inherit God's kingdom. And what is that? Now think, the girl that got the Olympic medal the other night started her journey there with a vision in her mind's eye. I want to be that. I want to get on the podium. I want to hear the Star Spangled Banner. And I like to think that the person who is working their way to heaven has something in their mind's eye, what they're working toward. All right, if you don't have a vision of the end, of what you want the end to be or what you think the end can be, if you don't have that, it's going to be very hard to motivate yourself at the various steps of the journey. So when you think of heaven, the ultimate goal we're supposedly all working for, what vision of that do you see in your mind's eye, in the eye of your soul? Do you see a transfigured self? Have you ever thought of yourself with a glow around you? Have you ever thought of yourself with a halo over your head? Have you ever thought of what your soul would look like if your soul was in glory? If your body was in glory? We tend to think of our bodies as in, I want to see my body in better shape than it's in physically. But we don't think, what would our body, our mind, our soul look like if they were transfigured in glory into the image of God? That's the end point. That's the end goal for all Christians, to become transfigured in glory like God. Do you see the gold of heaven? Do you hear the hymns of the angels? Think about that. All those years training in the pool, running on the track, I wonder how often these athletes are hearing the Star Spangled Banner in their head, saying, I'll run faster, I'll jump higher, I'll run farther, so that can become a reality for me. And I wonder how often we think about the sights of heaven, the hymns of heaven, and they push us to be more devout and more joyful in our practice of Christianity. And if you don't think about these things, if you're not thinking about the end goal, like the athlete, then you have to wonder, what's the incentive to train? Where's the discipline to forego the worldly things? And just like the athlete, in order to get to the Olympics, in order to get to heaven, you have to have a support system. And that support system is your family, and it's your church family. And we can't do it without a support system. And the reason we can't do it without a support system is because some days it's really hard to motivate ourselves to pray. Some days it's hard to motivate ourselves to get in the car and go to church. Some days it's hard to motivate ourselves to stay away from the thing that we know is wrong in order to do the thing that is right. So you have to have a support system. You've got to have friends. You've got to have family. You've got to have a church family. You've got to have a spiritual father. You've got to have these things that help us move on our goal. Now, to conclude here in a moment, let's say, pick a sport. Who likes, pick an Olympic sport. Somebody. Swimming. All right, Skip, beach volleyball. Let's say that I guarantee you a spot on the 2016 Olympic beach volleyball team. All right, Skip, you'll be there. You gotta find another partner. All right, but you don't have to go through the Olympic trials. You don't have to do a whole bunch of tournaments. You don't have to do anything. Just show up in Rio in 2016. There'll be sand there. There'll be a net. You'll have a partner. And all you gotta do is get the ball over and towards the other team. All right, guaranteed. Now, what are you gonna do between now and 2016? I mean, you're gonna be in front of the whole world. In front of the TVs, in front of judges, in front of other athletes. But I'm guaranteeing you the spot, so you don't have to worry about getting there. I would think, I would hope that you're going to train before you get there. Because doing this on the world stage, without any preparation, when's the last time you played volleyball?
Beach volleyball.
Beach volleyball.
3 years ago.
3 years ago? Can you get a serve over the net? And if I gave you a ball? Okay, good. Very good. If you're standing there on the beach, you can't get one serve over the net, or you can't move laterally on the court, you're going to feel pretty dumb there. You feel pretty inadequate there. All right, even if I give you a freebie and get you there, you've got to do something so that when you are there, you look and you act like you belong there. And it's kind of the same thing with God. God has guaranteed us a spot in heaven if we just do the training in order to get there. If you do the training and you work hard, you don't have to worry about being the third swimmer of the 100 meter freestyle that didn't make the team. The one that missed on being the team by a tenth of a second. You don't have to worry about that. There are many spots open on God's seat. Many, many spots. And He's holding one of them for you and me and everybody. But you got to train in order to get there. So the question is, What do you define as glory? If you compete only for the endorsements and the accolades and the riches, this isn't going to work. You have to work for the glory of God, the goal, the Him, the halo, and you have to be the best that you can be. In our faith this week, let's try to go higher and farther so that we may behold His glory and we may make that ultimate achievement. But in addition to making your own achievement, your own glory, let's work on being the support system for one another so that we don't see each other as rivals, where only one wins and the other doesn't, but we see the other as teammates, where one wins, we all win. So focus on your own journey, but also focus on being the support of someone else as they make theirs. Enjoy the last week of the Olympics. Thanks for having a beautiful and prayerful service this morning. Amen.